Welcome to the Simple Mind Sports Show. I'm your host, Ray, a.k.a. Dr. Big Mac. Along with me is Cal Ripken himself, the Iron Man, who's here every week, even if he's having kids. That is the one, Bobby Chief Vine. Show rundown for today. The Celtics pat the banner 18. We're also calling it the Green Dynasty, Boston Celtics journey to 18 titles. We're going to be talking Celtics heavy because the playoffs begin. Crafts lived long enough to become the villain. We're going to be talking Patriots there with the rumors coming out after that ESPN hit piece on Robert Kraft once again. Bruins tank to get to the Maple Leafs, question mark? We're going to talk hockey. We're not hockey guys, but we're going to talk it tonight. This or that with Dr. Big Mac. And then we always finish the show with Simplest Minds of the Week. This is the Simple Mind Sports Show presented by Sports Fluent Media, distributed by Chilled Town Hoops. Bobby, how are you tonight?
Doing very well. How are you?
Very, very good. I had a week off. It was beautiful. I can't wait to talk sports with you. I had a little withdrawal, but we're here. We're ready to talk.
How was your golf game out there? That was the main purpose of the trip, right?
Hey, every day I got better. I only lost one box of balls, and that's all that mattered, baby.
Very nice.
Well, you ready to start the show?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's dive right into it, Bobby. The Celtics pat the banner 18. It begins Sunday, 1 p.m. We still don't know who it is, so we're just going to take a deep dive into this NBA playoffs. And as I show you right now, there it is. There's the bracket. We are the first seed. We're either going to play the Bulls or the Heat, as we found out the other night when the Bulls beat the Hawks with Kobe White's 41 points.
And thank God the Bulls beat the Hawks, or we might have had a problem.
Yeah, and then we got the 7-8 seed, which was the Heat and Thunder. The Heat led that whole game, and then just Jimmy Buckets is done. Michael Jordan's son is now out, MCL sprain. So let's break down our first-round matchup. It's either going to be the Heat or it's going to be the Bulls. So, you know, like I just said, Kobe White was the lone guy out there, 41 points against the Hawks. Jimmy Butler-less Heat team doesn't scare me one bit. That's going to be your matchup. First round, Bobby, thoughts on that?
It's disappointing that Butler went down right at the end here. You know that he's basically mailed in the past 4 months of the season so that he could unleash his massive Butler hog in the playoffs, because that's all he cares about. He doesn't even do anything in the regular season anymore. He's an afterthought. And after last year's playoffs, there at least would have been some intrigue there in the first go round. So I am disappointed that Butler, he went down. That kind of takes some shine off it for me.
I would have loved it for a healthy Heat squad, because if you're playing them first round, wouldn't that be the proverbial monkey off your back going in there, playing them, getting that first series win? You know, the team that eliminated you from the bubble. Once again, they eliminated you 2 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, that would have been perfect. But now you're playing a hurt team. I'm just asking your thoughts. Is this a sweep or not?
They should completely sweep the floor with them. I don't know if you heard the reports about their rough practice session that they had, harder than training camp. I can't imagine anything more exhilarating than an NBA training camp practice. I mean, I can't imagine that those are much more difficult than a Raymond High School practice that we went through.
Which one? They're beautiful. Those are hard. I remember doing those 32-21s, whatever the fuck it was, when you had to run back and forth, and I almost puked several times.
But the suicides, you mean?
No, it was like you had to run base sideline to sideline. Remember that? I forgot what that was called, like 18 or something. I don't remember.
I always felt like we did significantly too much running and not enough basketball, as I go in retrospect.
And it showed, right?
Yeah.
Because we never won.
So, yes, pretty much.
So round two, now we're just going to move on. We're going to round two. You're either going to get the Orlando Magic or you're going to get the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Seas are 2-1 against the Magic this season, with the lone loss coming back in November. The Magic are ranked 22nd in offensive rankings right now. And while they are ranked second in defense, that's probably one of their biggest matchups right there. You know, a big, tough defensive team that just can't score. So my question is, Pablo Banchero leads the team with 22 points and assists. This Orlando team, do they scare you at all?
No, not at all.
Fair enough. So yeah. What do you think? What? One win? Maybe.
Yeah, they could take one. You know how it usually works, where the Celtics take two at home, and then they pop one, and it's 3-1 going back to Boston type of deal. But no, they don't scare me. I even though they both went 2-1 against each team, those are different 2-1s. The Cleveland team, much more polished. Donovan Mitchell, much more dangerous. They do give him fits, even though Celtics usually come out on top. But they're a better team, and I think that they would. It would be a much more competitive series with the Cavaliers.
But does the Magic scare you because they're young, dumb, and they just don't have, they don't care, they don't have any of those worries? Like, hey, we're in the playoffs right now. We're a 5 seed. You know, probably no one thought we'd be here. We play for a shitty city that doesn't really care about basketball. You know, let's just go out there and have some fun and see what happens.
I can't say that I watch too much Magic basketball. Other than
I don't think anyone can say that. I don't even think Magic fans can say
no,
that.
No, yeah, Magic, I know. Basketball. They're just one of those garbage franchises that if Anthony Hardaway and Shaq aren't there, that they don't matter. But yeah, no, they just, if they had a guy, a true guy, but they don't. I mean, Banchero, he's a good NBA player, but.
You don't think he's the guy, though? Like, he could be the franchise player down there. I mean, he is the franchise player down there, but one of those things where.
Yeah. You know, he's a franchise player for a team like the Orlando Magic, where he's going to score 25 a night, but he's never going to win shit.
I'm trying to like give like a player comp, like who he would like be like, and I can't really put my finger on it. Like maybe like
best ones I can think of. It's someone like I don't know, like a Glenn Robinson. Someone's just going to score
like
points.
No, they're not gonna Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson, you know, like just one of those guys where he's good. He can make an all-star team and stuff like that.
But he isn't like – he's someone that you would add to a team like the Celtics as your third guy. He's not like your – he's not the top guy. Yeah. If you're looking for like wing scoring, you bring in him.
So now we talked about the second round. We're already in the second round. No issues. Maybe one loss, we're saying. Maybe for the Celtics. So now that brings us to the Eastern Conference Finals, where I am predicting – and I don't know if you're predicting the same thing as me, but I predict that it's going to be the 2 seed, the New York Knicks, that go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Bobby, you agree or disagree with that before we go further?
I mean, they're down, key member of their team here. I could certainly see it happening. It would maybe depend on how the rest of it shakes down with the Bucks, Giannis's health.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's either going to be the Bucks or the Pacers, I think. So those are the other two teams that it could be. But I just think the Knicks are on that. They're on that grind right now. They're just playing some of the best basketball since the All-Star break.
Wouldn't be surprised if the Pacers make it there. The Pacers have been I think Halliburton's a good player. He's one of the top five players in that conference, I think. I think that's fair to say. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's the Pacers. But here in your scenario, I think that the Knicks also have a little bit more of some playoff gusto. They've won some series with Brunson and the players that they have. So if I'm forced to choose, I probably go Pacers.
Pacers. Well, for my argument here, I'm going to go Knicks. But honestly, I don't think it really fucking matters because we've already talked about this. Whoever it is in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's going 6 games. Celtics should win in 6 games. No matter who they're playing, if it's the Bucks, if it's the Pacers, if it's the Knicks, no matter who it is, out of the East, this East is so weak right now that it doesn't matter. The Celtics should steamroll their competition all the way to the finals this year. Agree to disagree.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where it's like, it's almost likened it to like, how the Patriots were. They were, again, the regular season, they're always beating everybody. You kind of take it for granted. Where it's like the Celtics... Like the nice thing about the NBA playoffs is they last so long. There's so many games, but it doesn't feel like it's almost just like, let me know when it's the finals. Like it just feels like it's the more of the regular season, which is, part of with this disappointment with Butler going down. At least that had something to it. I'm not particularly excited about the playoffs because of that. I don't know. How do you feel?
I don't feel, I think like you said, it's like the Patriots all over again. We steamrolled the competition during the regular season. It's playoff time. Now everyone's waking up. Now we're adjusting and seeing what actually our matchups could be, how what deep run we're going to make. And I think it's the finals. I honestly think this team is so depth-wise, probably the best team in the NBA. Obviously, the record shows that I think they should steamroll the competition all the way to the finals. There shouldn't be anyone.
If they don't make the finals, it's, Mazzulla's head on a pike, hopefully.
I think it's Missoula's head on something, and then I think you're going to blow it up. You have to blow it up. You have all this money tied up, and you can't make it to the finals with this roster with all these guys, barring an injury. If someone gets injured, obviously, then we're talking another story. But if you have a healthy Celtics lineup and you can't make it to the finals, then yeah, it's time to do something with the Celtics.
Especially with what they've said, that like they've said how much they like Missoula. They've only said good things about Missoula. So it's like, I don't even know. They would almost have to blame it on the players.
You would. And obviously,
Brad Stevens couldn't be any more profusive about, he's nicer about Missoula than he is about the players. He's, you know, he talks about Derek White, how he's good. Holiday just gave him an extension. And obviously he talks about Tatum. He doesn't talk about Jaylen Brown too much. He's a cunt. So that's probably why. But I mean, I don't know where you would put it. You'd probably have to put it on the players. Maybe Missoula skates. I don't know.
I think so, but I think the lone scapegoat would be Jaylen Brown. $300 million man would probably be the man that gets sent out packing.
Yeah. I mean, we discussed this before, especially with the whole timing of when he got his extension, where that's how they have to basically wait a year until they could trade him.
Yeah.
Roster wise, it makes sense. I mean, him and Tatum are too close. They're too close in the players. We were talking about the Nuggets before. Everybody does something different. You switch him out with a guy, even if it's someone that could be technically not as talented as Brown, could make for more synergy on the roster.
Yeah, you could get someone that doesn't do the same thing like Tatum does, like you said, you know, and doesn't need that ball. I just, the only thing that's so predictable with the Celtics is that, like, Jaylen Brown has to have so many touches in the first quarter just to get going. Like, it's just forced. It's forced down everyone's throat. You can see, like, that's the whole plan. Because if he doesn't, then you know he's going to have a bad game. If he goes and shoots less than 50% in the first quarter, you know he's going to have a terrible rest of the game where he's going to make mental mistakes, turnovers, you name it. And it just sucks that he has to be that type of guy where he has to be forced all first quarter long just to get going.
The Celtics are the most predictable team in the NBA. They do the same shit every game. They're just better than the other team. Yeah, they literally just do the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
And when they lose the same fucking one. They don't do anything different. There's no plays. There's no new sets. There's no new ball movement. No new defenses. No zone. No new switching. It's the same every game. They just have better players.
And if the threes don't fall, well, we're just going to keep shooting them.
Exactly. If the math doesn't math, then they lose.
And then hopefully Cornette can go in there and get rebounds inside and kick it back out for another 4-3. I mean, it just, you look at this roster, Celtics roster, there's no one that can stand up to them in the East by far. And I think we're agreeing on this. It should be
100%. No. Like, I believe they'll be in the finals whenever that is, the first week in June, second week in June, they'll be there. Okay. Who are they going to play? I'd go Denver.
All right. Well, look, great segue, Bobby, because I'm going to give you three teams who I think it could be.
Yep.
All right. So the first one I'm going to give you is the 4 seed, the LA Clippers. This is a long shot, Bobby, because there's multiple cunts on this team that just are cancers in the locker room and just, everywhere they go, they just get fucking booted out of there. So I'm going
to
give you that.
If we put a lineup of the guys that you went on your vacation with against the lineup of those five guys, which picture would have more cunts in it?
Oh, the picture of me, the guys golfing, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm the star cunt on that one right there. But
are you like the head of that group? Are you like the star?
Oh, no.
You know how there's like a group and that everybody has a role to play in the group? Are you like the main guy of the group?
No, absolutely not. I think we're all star powers on that golf trip. We're all there to have fun, get away from the family for a while, have some drinks, and we succeeded, Bobby.
I'm glad. I'm sure you deserved it. And
the only thing that they found out about me that they were very starstruck about was that when I take a shit, I take my shirt off, and they were just dumbfounded by that comment.
I was unaware that you needed to disrobe in order to shit. Why is that?
When I'm home, I just like to. Just feel free. You know, your pants are down at your ankles. Well, you have no shirt on.
Naked, actually, because your pants are down and exactly. Your shirt's off, so you're
very freeing, Bobby, and I fucking love it.
Yeah,
and it was hot. It was hot. We didn't have the AC cranking.
I'm sure it was warm there, especially in contrast to the temperatures that you feel there. So, yes. But also, like, if you're wearing, I know you wear shorts a lot, but wear pants. Do you pull them all the way down to the ground, like, so that you're basically just hanging off your feet, or are they kind of like at the knee?
Oh, no, no, feet. All the way down.
I agree. I agree with that.
There's no other way to do that.
Yeah.
So that's I feel butt naked, obviously, and it's freeing, and I just go about my business.
I enjoy doing, as long as it's not like a jeans or something where they might be like a little bit more uncomfortable to do it with.
Yeah.
But just kind of like take one leg out. So it's really like you have freedom of movement with your legs.
I've never tried that.
You should try that.
I'm going to try that next time.
Kind of like you just slide one leg down and then it's just really more freedom of movement with your legs. You don't feel that confining constraint.
So you know, I want you to try the shirt off and I'm going to try the one leg out.
I can see how that would be great. Yeah.
And next week we're going to have we're going to pass notes. And we're just going to see how that goes.
That's good. Okay? We'll do it.
So speaking of notes, sidebar. Sidebar, whatever. It's fine. Clippers. Bunch of star power, but a bunch of cunts. Do you think they could go up and win the West? And do you see them being a tough matchup for the Celtics if they can make it to the
East? No, they probably can't order lunch together without fighting. There's no way that they're going to make any noise. They're all old. They're all dumb and dislikable. No.
The only one that
none of them have ever won anything. And when they've been on separate situations with better teams, Harden, Westbrook, Paul George, and they've all been on better teams
Kawhi,
before
though,
they didn't win shit. And now they're all there together. They're not going to win shit. Kawhi too. Okay. Kawhi did. Sorry. Good point.
Kawhi's the only lone wolf in that whole pack right there.
He's made it clear he doesn't particularly care about basketball anymore.
Well, and I'm also going to give you something that might fucking boggle your mind right now, Bobby, but Kawhi Leonard is hurt right now. So
okay. Fair.
weird how that goes. Right. He might play the first round matchup against the Mavs, but he's still undecided. So
yeah,
that's my first team. I'm thinking that might be a long shot to make it to the finals for the West. And obviously if they make it, they don't scare us. Second team we were talking before we got on the air, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I asked you to name more than three guys on this team and we couldn't do it, but
I got three. I did get three.
Well, yeah, but you had a hard time with that, with the last one, but
I did. Young. I knew half his name.
So the Thunder, though, is like the Magic. These are young kids. These are all under 23, I think.
First of all, this photo, it looks like the poster to like a comedy movie, like that these guys are playing. It's like a dodgeball poster, like the way that they're posing. Like it's like over the top.
I didn't know Slam Magazine was still around.
That's a good point.
That was the big thing that I saw. I was like, holy shit, Slam Magazine still fucking around? That's like dumbfounding right now.
Did they do a set for East Bay too?
I think East Bay went out of business, Bobby.
I know. That's why I thought it was Slam Magazine.
No,
I don't think anybody buys shoes from catalogs anymore.
No, well, people buy shoes online all the time, but fucking hey, Slam Magazine, that brought me back to middle school days where you put that in your locker and be like, oh shit, I'm the man because I read Slam Magazine. But did the Thunder scare you at all? I mean, they got a Shea Gilgeous Alexander, who could be an MVP finalist this year. A bunch of young kids, you know, if they make a run to the finals, do they match up against the Celtics? Do they give Celtics any problems whatsoever?
I think they're a good team, but they actually, like, their profile of player match up with the Celtics, of their similar profiles of players, except the Celtics players are better. So, Porzingis, Chet Holmgren, there, you know, Porzingis was Chet before Chet thought about being Chet. He's better than him right now. Mm-hmm. Tatum or Brown can match up against Shea Gilgeous. The other three guys are role guys, and Derek White's better than them. So the Celtics are just better. They're a good team. I'm sure they would win games. They're competitive, and they're obviously well coached to get where they are. But no, the Celtics are a better team.
Agreed. I think it would be a gentleman's sweep if we faced the Thunder in the finals. The last team I'm going to give you, and I don't think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep. I think it's going to be a dogfight. That's defending champs, the Denver Nuggets. Bobby, the 2-seed coming out here. Like I told you before we got on the air, I watched highlights of the last two matchups the Nuggets had with the Celtics. Jokic just bodies everyone. They just mismatch. No one can stop this guy. I think the only plan you could be is just let Jokic do what he needs to do inside. And hopefully you can stop everyone else, from Jamal Murray to Aaron Gordon.
Well,
Michael
did that new guy that they traded for. What's his name? The big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have any, in any way, shape, or form, an ability to guard Jokic?
He has bigger size than Horford and Porzingis, but I don't know. Like, we haven't seen that matchup yet.
That's the only thing I could hope for, is that he could provide some solid minutes on there. Horford's big enough, but he's too old. Porzingis is, he doesn't have the mass to do that. And on ball defense, that's not his game. He's off ball defender. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it would just come down to, like, you know, maybe Missoula coming up with a plan to attack them offensively in a different way, which I know would be a difficult thing.
Yeah.
It's funny, player for player, the Celtics have better, more talent. They have some more talented players. But yeah, as we've discussed with the Nuggets, they're a complete team. Everybody does that has a role, and they play their role very well. I'd love to see the series. I want to watch it. It would be the two best teams in the NBA. And I'm sure I wouldn't, if I had to bet an amount of money that was important to me, I would probably place it on the Nuggets.
How many games?
7.
I think that would be a dogfight. I think it would go 7. Like you said, we have the more talented team, but I think they have the most talented player. Jokic is just a beast in himself. He can do it from the outside. He can do it from the inside. He can body you down low. He can play D. He can play lockup D against you. I think he's going to be a scary force if the Celtics meet the Denver Nuggets in the finals. And I do agree that it's going to go 7. But unlike you, Bobby, I have my green underwear on tonight, and I do believe that that's what we'll be seeing, is a Boston Celtics 2024 championship come the end of the season. So, like we said, it's going to be a dogfight. Once you get to the finals, everywhere else it's going to be a boring sweep series, gentlemen sweeps. But I think the Celtics will go to the finals, and if they play the Nuggets, boy oh boy, get your popcorn ready, boys and girls, because it's going to be
June. That would probably be the highlight of our 2024 New England sports for the year.
Oh, totally.
Agree. Yeah, I don't see anything else eclipsing that.
Unless the Bruins make a run, but I don't think that's going to happen either. But do you honestly think that, A, it's going to happen, that they could actually pull this together and make a run for it and have a banner? Like, I know you said the Nuggets, you put all your money in, but do you think if we can play some of the best basketball that we played all year, go against the Denver Nuggets, that we are 0-2 against, the only team that we are 0-2 against or have a losing record against this season, do you think they can actually pull it out? It's almost like they're playing the Golden State Warriors all over again. The team that's always had their number, pretty much.
They certainly could do it. Yes, 100%. I believe that they can. It's just that, as we've discussed with the Celtics for a long time, they've given us nothing to show that they are going to do anything differently in crunch time to win games that they've traditionally lost.
Yeah.
Until we start to see that, which unfortunately, as we've discussed here, they're going to run through the East, so they might not get tested. So they're going to they could potentially go into the finals having the same fourth quarter issues that they didn't get to, you know, maybe work on in the playoffs against stiff competition. And they're probably not going to, are they going to be able to overcome that on then the biggest stage? I don't know, but can they? Of course, they could just win every game by 20.
That's a great point that you brought up, though, is that if we do steamroll everyone in the East and then you go up against a matchup like the Nuggets or another team in the West, who's going to be a dog that you're going to have to play, are you going to be able to make those adjustments? Are you going to be able to now use what you haven't been able to do all playoff long, because now it's going to be a dogfight and now you're going to be have to grind it out where you haven't been able to do that in the East at all? Is that going to be something that's going to be a problem come Joe Mazzulla's way come the NBA Finals?
Yeah, you trust Mazzulla? Because I don't.
I don't trust Joe Mazzulla at all. I don't think he's a great coach. I don't think he knows what he's doing. I think he's just got handed something that Ime and Brad Stevens all built together, and that he just got thrown into the mix, and basically the players are running that team, and it's not anything Joe Mazzulla is doing for them.
No, he has a plan. He just doesn't know how to execute it. The least the number one thing I can say is he thinks basketball. He talks basketball. I believe he knows basketball. He just doesn't know how to execute, get the people to execute a plan on the fly in game situations when the rubber meets the road and it matters.
I don't think he knows how to do that, and I don't think he knows how to adjust. I don't think that's his big problem. He doesn't know how to adjust.
No, I 100% agree with that.
If he doesn't
have a plan, he goes into the game with the plan, and they don't change it.
Like he sees, like his plan is red. Red is my plan. I'm not veering from red. And then the other team throws blue his way, and he's like, "Oh fuck! I don't know what to do. All I know is red. I don't know how to change anything. All I know, I can't run red. That's what I'm saying, though. That's going to be the big thing. So,
is red a play that you guys have on your kids' team?
No, I saw red with my OJ Simpson jersey behind me, and I just thought red. And
what's your secret language for the team? What do you call plays? Numbers?
We got numbers. States? Yeah, because still it's fifth and sixth grade.
Go up to five?
Three. And two of the plays are the same thing, only like it just changes like from the direction side of the court. It's fucking hilarious.
one is an inbound from the baseline. One's inbound from the sideline.
Then
three is a pick and roll. Mm-hmm.
Have you been scouting us, Bobby? You feel a little Joe Mazzulla?
Yeah.
Give me three things that scare you for the Celtics team to not win a championship.
Joe Mazzulla, injuries, and the Nuggets.
I like it. I'd go Joe Mazzulla, Porzingis injury specifically. If he gets hurt, I think that's going to be
He's the most likely one. You could also say Al Horford. Al Horford going down wouldn't help. He's obviously a key member of this team.
Agreed. And then the third one, I'd go Jaylen Brown in crunch time situations, making mental mistakes. Those are my three takeaways. I like your three takeaways as well. I'm glad we're on the same page. But like I said, Sunday, 1 o'clock, probably ABC or ESPN, it begins either against the Heat or Bulls and the quest for Banner 18. So.
At least something to watch on a Saturday or on a Sunday.
Sunday.
To watch sports wise right now.
No, what do you mean? There was golf last weekend, bid.
Fuck golf. The Masters. That's a snooze fest.
Quick break. We'll be right back with some Kraft has lived long enough to be a villain. All right, Bobby. Kraft has lived long enough to become a villain. I love that title. Rich used it in a text exchange, so I stole it from him. But yeah, basically, where to begin, Bobby? Where to begin? Basically, news came out Wednesday or Tuesday. I don't remember. My days are getting mixed up. But basically, Robert Kraft went down, talked to Arthur Blank, and I have a little video to play to get everyone familiar with what the story is. So we can be all on the same page. This is from Greg Hillman or the Greg Hillman show on WEEI. So here we go.
We can't talk about that enough. Robert Kraft should be ashamed of himself. What a detestable thing to do to someone who did so much to help you succeed.
If you're just joining us, there is a Wickersham piece at ESPN.com. And you always have to consider the source.
Anybody that says that doesn't know what they're talking about. Literally, Seth Wickersham has been right about everything. People who say he wasn't are rewriting history. Wickersham was right about everything that you saw in the Dynasty docuseries. He was right about the issues with Guerrero and Belichick. He was right about the Jimmy G friction that led to him getting traded. He was right about everything.
So the suggestion would be that Bill Belichick and Arthur Blank, the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, met on Mr. Blank's yacht and essentially were very happy with each other. And then Robert Kraft made a phone call and said that Bill was not a very warm person. I think most people, Bill would probably agree with that, but that really has nothing to do with his ability as a head coach. And that the suggestion was that he talked Arthur Blank out of hiring Bill Belichick.
What a petty old cunt. God damn it. I'm glad everyone's starting to come aboard of the Robert Kraft is a fucking old petty asshole who doesn't like to get any blame put on him and now is being a spiteful asshole and calling other teams, and the guy who helped build Gillette Stadium, who helped build Patriot Place, who helped get 6 Lombardi trophies, is now getting badmouthed by the owner, his former boss, and not letting him get another head coaching job. Bobby, your thoughts after hearing that?
Robert Kraft is starting to look like a real piece of shit. It's really troublesome. about like all the things. I mean, we give him a hard time, or we give him a hard time. Like we make jokes about some of the things that he's done before that seems to get glossed over. And like when you combine it with like all of these other things that have come out, it's just like, I'm really unhappy with the direction of the Patriots with him at the top, because he doesn't seem to be 100% invested in winning, and he just seems like an asshole.
The thing that pisses me off is that like he doesn't want to take blame for anything, and now I'm very curious to see what happens with this, because he hasn't come out in the media or addressed the Seth Wickersham article at all. But like, who's going to be the scapegoat now? Bill Belichick's gone, folks. You have no one to fall back on. He has no one to be like, well, this is Bill's team, blah, blah, blah. And now it even sounds like through the draft that there's factions or groups, and no one, yeah. And that's why we're trading out.
Collaboration might not be going so well because nobody's in charge.
Because no one's in charge. Everyone wants to be this free spirit and let everyone have their own ideas. But now it doesn't sound like everyone's on the same page, and it's not working out well. It sounds like Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft. Oh, you have something to say? Go ahead for it.
No, well, I was wait till you're done. But what I was going to say, basically, what I worry about with Kraft is, you know how he always tries to make it seem like he's the owner for every man. He's like, you know, we built Gillette Stadium without any public money. You know, we do things better. We do things the right way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you also look at his history, and he has a history of kind of doing whatever the fuck he wants, and like how whenever things start to happen in a, like he has this complex about him where like he needs people to see him as this like greater good when like he isn't, when like behind the scenes, it's kind of like documented that he does things that he says he doesn't do.
Yeah. And you know that. If your father was like that, what do you think the son who was been following his father's in his footsteps is going to be when he takes over the reins of this team and Jonathan Kraft?
I mean, he would probably be worse. He just probably wouldn't be as like subversive with it. He could just be more upfront with like, this is how I'm going to do things because I say so. Where Robert Kraft, like he's a little bit more old school and wants to have the persona, where his kid might not give a shit and just be like, he might almost be like, Snyder-ish and be just like, yeah, this is the way I'm going to do it. Like whatever.
You don't think he'd care about his PR?
Feel good.
Yeah. You don't think he's going to care about it? How it looks on the outside.
He might, because also he saw the way his dad do that way too. But I think, just can we agree 100% that this was all leaked by Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
Like this is,
yeah.
Bill Belichick personally called up Seth Wickersham and is like, I'd like to talk to you. And is
off
it any
the record? Yeah,
exactly. Is it any coincidence that it all comes out on the same day that he's goes on Pat McAfee and says he's going to be doing this other bullshit? So it's like, come on, Bill, come on.
I mean, again, though, who told Bill? Arthur Blank must have said, hey, this is why I'm not hiring you. Bill, Robert told me not to trust you, and that's why you're not coming to Atlanta.
Probably. Or Arthur Blank was just like, why the fuck am I going to hire this old shit who's just going to use my franchise for 2-3 years to get some wins, and then he's going to leave. Like, he's not here for the long haul. It just it doesn't make sense for anybody to hire Bill. And because he's going to want everything Bill's way, and then he's going to leave.
Yeah, he only has probably, 3-4 years left max at this
exactly.
point. Exactly. He's 15 wins away from being the all-time winningest NFL coach. After that, what else do you have to play for? You have fucking 6 Lombardi trophies, plus 2 more as the Giants' D coordinator. Yeah. You got 8 altogether. What else are you actually going to be playing for other than that record?
If you just look at the like an actual like resume based off of football reasons, everything post Brady indicates that he slipped and that he wasn't as good of a coach as that he was. Obviously, there were still good things and there's still things to point to because the man knows football and he knows how to coach. But if you look at a lot of things that he has done, they're great. And there are a lot of things that matter in today's game. Development of players. He can't do that. He doesn't do it.
No, especially with rookies, like what happened with Mac Jones. I mean, he ruined that kid's career. I don't like Mac, but I can definitely say that, you know, he wasn't given the proper opportunity to flourish in a system, NFL system with Bill Belichick.
He was done no favors.
No. Has this been the worst offseason for the Kraft family, pretty much? First, you had the Dynasty released, who they thought that was going to be a good look for him. Wasn't. It was a bad look for him. I know you still have
for everybody. The Dynasty makes everything about the Patriots look fucking scummy.
But it was like a Bill Belichick PR like smear campaign. Like that's all it was. It was trying to make Bill look like the villain. Yeah. Especially when Jonathan came up.
It also made the Krafts look like assholes because of it showed like that's what I mean. they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it looked like the Krafts were the biggest assholes after that. And I think that fell in their face. I don't think that's what they wanted it to be. I think it wanted them to come out looking good. It failed. Now this Arthur Blank, Seth Wickersham, another bad black eye. I think this is worse than the hand job he got down in Florida, Jupiter, Florida. Like, this is the worst PR for him right now.
He, first of all, he's the Teflon Don with that hand job. Okay, nothing. It hasn't stuck to him. Nobody ever talks about it. I think I'm the only one that ever brings it up. Okay, and then now you've brought it up. Nobody gives a shit that Robert Kraft had a handy before the AFC Championship game. Nobody cares.
I fucking tip my cap to him. I'm like, hey, fuck yeah. I mean, you gotta get a little relieved before the AFC Championship game. Exactly. I mean, you know,
everybody understand why he does it. And Exa, thank you for bringing that up. It goes right to my point. He puts himself as this holier than now man that is, you know, he does all these good things. What's he's taking? Look at what he's doing. He's not. He does what he wants.
After his poor wife died, he goes out and just starts banging some 20-something-year-old exactly.
He's
woman.
Taking advantage of poor young women.
Yeah, I mean, he's
a baddie. But I like your question. To actually answer your question, it very well might be because the whole – with Belichick leaving, Belichick was tied to their success. The Krafts had no success without Bill Belichick or Tom Brady, and now they're both gone.
Well, so, they did go to the Super Bowl with Drew Bledsoe in 96.
It's fair. Okay, that is fair. I'll give you that.
They did have
Parcells
success.
Was there. There was their some Parcells. Success.
But that's also, fair. So I will take your point, though, and say that Parcells was there, so that was a big figure. Sure. That's a big personality in the NFL that brought him to the Super Bowl. So obviously, I get what you're saying. They don't have – the Krafts haven't done anything with homegrown stuff. They've always had a pillar there to help them guide them to a winning season or to bring them to a Super Bowl. Kraft now is looking to do it by themselves and bring Mayo along and say, hey, we made Mayo. This was us. They couldn't do that with Belichick. And they couldn't do that with Parcells because those are two great coaches.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes. And that's a fair point, too, that they're going to. I mean, you hear Mayo talk. It sounds like he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. They're probably going to be the ones trying to run ideas through him and do so many more things that they couldn't do when Bill was there because Bill was going to do it Bill's way and he was empowered to do so. So it shows the importance of the draft if they're going to draft a quarterback. If this guy hits this quarterback, it'll wash away all this bullshit. It'll all go away. If they get Drake May or Jaden Daniels or whoever it is, and the guy can play, nothing else matters. If they can't play, it is just the Patriots are going to be a wash in shit for years.
So speaking of that, I brought it up that there's like these little groups that aren't decided. I know we're not going to talk any draft until next week because that's the big week. It sounds like the Krafts want Jaden Daniels. It sounds like Elliot Wolf and Jerod Mayo want J.J. McCarthy. And then the Alex Van Pelt and all those guys, they want Drake May. Obviously, no one's on the same page. Everyone's fighting. There's no group decision here. What should be the plan? Should you just fucking get rid of the pick? Should you trade back and try to get as many assets as you want and go to plan B? Or are the Krafts going to try to do something and try to get Jaden Daniels somehow, making a trade with the Commanders or another play?
It's scary. Really is. I mean, first, you should not draft J.J. McCarthy over Jaden Daniels or Drake May. They're just bigger, better athletes. Like, he isn't – McCarthy's not a bad player, and he is a good athlete, but he just isn't of that caliber. So just – if one of those two are on the board at three and you select him, it's like malpractice. That's just that's bad. But if there is no consensus, then – the consensus would be to agree that we've reached no consensus and we'll trade out of this pick, compile picks, and then just take the best player available on the board at that time and move forward, and we'll address quarterback later. That's what they should do, just compile players. But they don't have a GM, so who's going to do it? But Elliot Wolf said that it's his final call, so if that's the case...
Is it, though? Is it?
Well, is it? I know, but he said it, so...
I think it's Jonathan Kraft's final call. I think Jonathan Kraft is the one that's playing the GM game right now.
Can we confirm if he'll be in the draft room, in the war room?
I don't think so. Mm. I think he'll be on a cell phone making calls.
Saying, do what I want.
Do what I want. Here's what I want. Jane Dan's gone.
I'm nervous. I am nervous for what's going to happen next week. I wouldn't be happy if they drafted McCarthy at 3. If they traded back and ended up with him, okay. History shows trade backs for quarterbacks. That shit doesn't work. That's how you get EJ Manuel. No. I'm nervous on what it's going to look like. I can only hope that this is all just a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
And that they're just trying to like potentially drum up the hall of all halls. And if not, they're just going to draft the guy at 3, whether it's May or Daniels.
Yeah. I don't think there's any consensus. No one knows what the hell is going to go on. Now there's rumors AJ Brown's coming here because of his new Instagram. Yeah,
what's that about? He put Brady as like his.
So he's a huge Patriots fan. He cried when the Patriots didn't draft him back in 2019, I believe it was.
Fucking Belichick.
Bill sent that to us. I started reading up on it. Basically, A.J. Brown watched the Dynasty. He said Tom Brady was his favorite quarterback. That's why he put that his profile picture on Instagram like that. There's no truth to the rumor that A.J. Brown's coming here. But that's just the thing. There's so many rumors. There's so many different ways that this could go next week. And that's why I didn't want to talk much draft tonight, because I think it's going to be all next week. It's going to be a shit show. So many rumors. Yeah. It's just going to be... speaking of rumors, Belichick also did say that there's only 3 coaching spots that he wants to do next offseason, and that's the Giants, the Cowboys, the Eagles. Do you think any one of those teams would hire him?
The most blue-blood franchises in the NFL.
Yeah. Do you think he would go there? Do you think those teams would want him?
I don't think he ever coaches again.
So then my last question, what happens first? Belichick gets the wins record or Kraft steps down, meaning Robert Kraft steps down?
Yeah, I don't think Belichick coaches again, so Kraft stepping down.
Very good.
I think he is blackballed. I don't think he'll ever coach again.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, like we said, next week, big-time draft talk, obviously, because next Thursday we will be live as the draft unfolds before our eyes. So we'll see what happens next week, but hopefully they get on the same page. But quick break. We'll be talking some Bruins tank to get the Leafs, ? Right back. All right, Bobby, we're not hockey guys. I mean, I'll watch the playoffs, but I know you're not a hockey guy. After I asked you who Jack Edwards were, you had no clue.
So who is that guy?
He's the play-by-play announcer for the Bruins.
Who gives a shit about that? He's retired. Who the fuck cares about that? Okay. When Mike Gorman retires, yes, that can get discussed. Okay. But no, Jack Edwards, the play-by-play for the fucking Bruins. Oh, this guy. Oh, look, it's a great icing call there. The puck went a little far. Oh, it's another offsides call. Line switch there.
I wasn't even being an asshole. I fucking knew you wouldn't know who the hell that was.
I never heard of this guy.
All right, so I don't know if you've heard the rumors, but so the Bruins were tied with the Florida Panthers in the Atlantic Division going into the last 2 games of the season. It sounds like they tanked on purpose so they could get the better matchup, which would be the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are notoriously choke artists. I think they got a playoff win in fucking for like a series win in forever. I think it was like 15 years, maybe. I don't know. Bill would know more than me, but is this smart for the Bruins to do, or for any team to do, is to fucking purposely lose to try to get a better matchup in the playoffs?
That's a losing mentality bred by losers.
That's what I'm thinking. I think that's the most idiotic thing you could fucking do. Is dumb. You'd want that momentum to go with you. You wouldn't want to lose. First, you'd want...
My understanding about hockey players are they're borderline Neanderthals. So and if they're doing too much thinking, that's a problem, number one. They just need to go out there and just go after it. That's what they do. Isn't that what playoff hockey's about, being tough, growing the playoff beard? Does that mean they're going to shave first like a bunch of queers?
They might have shaved their taints before going up against them, but we'll see what happens. I mean, I think karma is a real thing. And if you fucking are purposely losing,
well, it's just it's a loser's mentality. Like,
well, fuck yeah. So
that means you're saying that you're so fucking good that you're just going to lose these games and you're just going to turn it on later because you're so fucking good. Come on.
That's bulletin board material, Bobby. That is something the Maple Leafs could throw in their locker and be like, they think we're fucking less of a competition than going against Tampa Bay. Like, fuck them. Yeah. Let's fucking give them it all. Like, I
exactly.
think this
they'll
is
finish
going to...
their French fries and gravy and get out there and whoop some ass.
I mean, the rumors are going around. I mean, I think everyone was on board from the coaches to the players to like, let's lose so we can play at Toronto.
How dumb are they if they actually everybody talked about it in like an open forum meeting? Did they take notes?
Yeah, do this. Well, it's funny too because the first two periods they look like they were purposely trying to lose that game, and then the third period it looks like, oh fuck, let's turn it on, see if we could actually come back. Auto Centers are probably one of the worst teams in the
let's
league.
Come back for funsies.
It's just one of those things. Last question. How far did the Bruins go, Bobby?
I hope that the Maple Leafs wipe the floor with them for this indiscretion, this disrespect.
Me too. I hope they fucking lose first round. That'd be fucking hilarious. And then blow it all up. I mean, they had a good run. I mean, no one thought they were going to do this again this year. I mean, last year we thought it was a fluke when they went out and set that regular season record. And now this year they came back with a younger squad without Bergeron, without Krejci and all that. They're doing pretty well, but I mean, you just don't mess with the
jail yet. Didn't he like beat the shit out of his wife?
No, that was Lucic.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And she dropped charges. So basically she.
Oh, what a wuss. She wussed out. She wussed out.
The money. So she's fine. So, yeah, I would like them to make a deep run just because it's entertaining when both Boston squads are in there and making deep runs. But yeah, you don't mess with karma. Taylor Swift told me that. You don't do that.
Don't do it.
All right, quick break, and then this or that with Dr. Big Mac. He's really got to work on those videos of getting rid of that. This or that with Dr. Big Mac. Every week we do this to break up the arguing, but Rich hasn't been here, so there's been positive vibes only right now. But it just is a nice little thing to break it up, you know, and have some fun. So this week I got some questions for you, Bobby, and I got some pictures because I guarantee you don't know some of these things. So wonderful. I got some stuff for you. Masters win or an Olympic gold medal?
I think they're both equally dumb. I might surprise you here, and I would probably go Masters win because it would probably get me more bitches. And it's probably more lucrative.
More money.
Well, I'd get that stupid jacket that
green
like
jacket.
Worst case scenario, I could like, you know, like choke somebody with or something.
Fair enough. I, too, would go Masters win just because of the money alone. That's a fat paycheck. I think if you get a gold medal, what is it, like $25,000 or something like that?
Nothing. Not who gives a shit about a gold medal?
Yeah, you have to pretty much hope you get all these endorsement deals just to make that money back. And yeah. No, thank you. I asked that next question because the Summer Olympics in Paris is coming up this summer. So are you a fan of Summer Olympics or Winter Olympics?
I also believe each are equally as dumb, but the Summer Olympics are better.
What's your favorite summer sport?
I mean, probably like basketball or something like that because it's actually
wrong.
In there. Like, I mean,
wrong.
The track and stuff's kind of cool.
Wrong.
What?
Beach volleyball, Bobby. Those bums are on display.
Absolutely.
Love it. So here's my first picture for you, Bobby. Tate McRae, who's the girl on the right, or left, I'm sorry, and then Olivia Rodrigo. both pop stars.
Uh-huh.
Making the news lately. Which one, this or that? Which music would you rather listen to?
The first one.
The one on the left, the red?
Yeah, left, in the red.
Yeah, Tate McRae. She's a Canadian pop star, and she is she's making the rounds. She is very, yeah, me too. Her voice is lovely. I love everything about her new album. I couldn't tell you the name of it, but I don't know any of the songs. But yeah, that's the one I'd choose too there. Next one. Now, this question comes with drinking. You have to be drinking heavily, okay?
Okay.
All right. A night talking to Rich about politics or a night out with Bill, the Queen?
Oh, wow. Well,
so,
I mean,
one of them's going to end in a lot of yelling, a lot of you're being called you're an idiot, you're stupid. The other one, you may die. Those are your two options.
Well, it just... What would I want to do? I don't know. I think I would. There's just problems with each. There's
right?
problems. With
right? Each. This is a fucking good one. When I was on the shitter with no shirt on, I was thinking of this and like, oh, this is a good one.
This is a good question. So it's like if I'm doing an all night with politics with McPhee.
Yeah.
Then I'm having to hear these things where he's going to say things that aren't true, but you don't know because he's saying it with such conviction.
And he's going to tell you that you're dumb, that you don't like.
Exactly.
How dare you not know that?
Yep. He's just going to bounce all the way around and you don't even know what he actually believes because he just says things and he just mm-hmm. keeps talking and mm-hmm. It would just be an endless mm-hmm. thing. And then, you know, you'd be going out with Bill and then it would just be that there'd be so many other things going on. I mean, there'd be amount of gay sex that you'd have to get through with that night would be overwhelming. And yeah. I don't know if I could do that. That would be equally as problematic.
Yeah.
So I'd probably go with Bill and the gay sex. Yeah.
Same. Give me yeah. gay sex and Bill. Yeah. I can't do a night of politics with Rich. I just can't.
Oh, my God.
I'd fucking want to blow my brains out. Next one. Picture for you. I don't know if you remember these. Hey, Dude, or Salute Your Shorts?
Salute Your Shorts.
Fucking, that's the right answer. Salute Your yeah. Shorts.
That was easy.
Only two seasons long. I mean, I remember coming home from Wreck, and that would be on. It would be,
that show was
hey,
awesome.
Dude. Salute Your Shorts, and I fucking love Salute Your Shorts.
What was the other one that was kind of? It was like it was like a game show for kids, but like they were at this like themed. What was it called? I can't
game
remember the
show?
Name. Of it. Yeah, it was like, well, not like it was like a game show where the kids would like run like obstacle courses and like shit like that, but it was set in like Samoan like a beachy like outdoor like setting and there was like slime and shit.
I'll have to find that after the show, but I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm very intrigued. Last one, another photo for you. Play one-on-one with Cameron Brink, who just got drafted into the NBA. She's the one on the left, the blonde with the black dress, or Skylar Diggins Smith.
I could definitely beat the one on the left.
Well, she's also 6 foot four or five. I forgot. She's ginormous.
Whatever. She doesn't look intimidating. The other one.
So I don't know if you know my innuendo when I say one on one. I mean, who do you want to have sex with here, Bobby?
Oh, this was. I thought it was an actual basketball thing. Well, then
no.
She's far too big. Far too big. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be climbing up and down that beanstalk. So Skylar.
Yep, Skylar. Even though, yeah. like, I mean, the Cameron, she's a beautiful woman, but Skylar. Yes, please.
Could you imagine having to bone a chick that's like 6'6"? I mean, that's
nope.
like double your size.
That'd be like boning Rich. No, thank you. I can't do that. Rich is a very tall man, and no, I can't imagine that. I'm an average size man, and I cannot think about climbing up a woman just to give her a kiss or a hug or start.
Would you rather have to have sex with a woman that's 6'8" or 4'5"?
4'5". I don't even have to think about that, Bobby. 4'5". Come on. Imagine just a woman standing up right now and just being.
I mean, in that scenario, I would go with the 6'8".
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean, what if it's like just like a nice big plump features? That'd be nice.
No, give me 4'5".
Give me the 4'5".
Simplest Minds of the Week to end the show right after this.
back to school, to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool.
I will say, I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, I do have family members with Down syndrome. It almost got me. I dodged it, but it nicked me. It nicked me. Bit of a daywalker myself.
Are you stupid or something?
Mama says stupid is as stupid does.
We always end the show with Simplest Minds of the Week. We find funny ass stories, whether it's entertainment, sports, whatever, and we make fun of them ruthlessly.
You found a doozy this week.
I did find some doozies this week, but the first one made his own case. That is Jonte Porter, who just got a lifetime ban from the NBA for gambling on games which he was playing in. Here's the clip.
The Raptors forward Jonte Porter allegedly bet not only on basketball, but also on his own team. DraftKings had said that prop bets for Porter for a couple dates earlier in the year were the biggest winners that day. The NBA said a league investigation found that Porter violated league rules by disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, by limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes, and betting on NBA games. The league says Porter intentionally limited his play against Sacramento March 20th, claiming he was sick. What's more, he allegedly told someone ahead of time who then used that information to make an $80,000 parlay bet. It was not paid. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver previously had called a lifetime ban the ultimate extreme option at his disposal for discipline. Clearly, he felt like it was necessary here.
What a fucking idiot.
Did you see the actual release too that the NBA had about this moron? They like trashed him in it. They said like Jonte Porter, who was on like a two-way contract, indicating that he's like, yeah, this guy isn't like a full NBA player, meaning that he is still like he was brought up from the G League.
Yeah.
So it's like if it was Chris Paul, would they be like a Chris Paul like however many time All-Star but never won the NBA championship? Like,
well, did you see this little doozy right here? So he's made over $2 million playing, and betting-wise, he's only made $21,000. So now you're losing that $2 million that you've made playing to bet, which you're probably going to jail because, I mean...
Yeah. I mean, even if you're a bad NBA player, like bottom of the bench, like you still make a couple million a year.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't have to play that much. Yeah, the guy
is... He's an idiot.
He is the defining, like... the definition of simple minds. I mean, look what Pete Rose did. I mean, that was back when there was no internet. You're going through bookies pretty much. You were calling people. There was nothing that you could get traced on, and he got caught. Now with all this technology nowadays, and you're doing this shit to make what, $21,000 when you've been making $2 million just playing basketball, riding the bench. I mean, what a fucking idiot this guy is.
He's pretty dumb.
He's dumb, but is he dumber than this woman? I'm just going to play the video. I'm not going to say anything, but this comes out of Brazil, so I don't know what they're saying, but just read the subtitle. There's no subtitles. I'm sorry, but basically, this Brazilian woman brought her dead uncle. Yes, that man was dead
as fuck.
That man is dead as fuck. She's pretty much like fucking a Weekend at Bernie's. The guy is dead, and she's trying to get a loan, have him sign a loan, even though he's dead, over to her. Like, are you fucking serious? Like, people nowadays, and I guess from TMZ again today, that was from where that was from, came out, and they have the cab ride where the lady got the dead uncle into the cab and brought him over to the bank to go sign that loan over.
Unbelievable.
Wow. I mean, I know you do some banking stuff, Bobby. If you imagine seeing that, just what are you fucking doing, lady?
That would be phenomenal. That would have been, if someone had walked into my bank like that, I just would have, give that woman her money. Give her money. Get her
whatever,
out of here.
Yeah, whatever she wants.
He doesn't give a shit. Get her
I
out
would
of here.
Love to see like how she got him into, like, that's dead weight. You were taking dead weight and trying to bring him in.
Solid pun.
Oh man, like just that's Two of these great candidates.
Unfortunately,
to speak,
no one has described that woman what the internet is. It's a significantly easier way to commit fraud.
It's Brazil, though. It's Brazil. Maybe she hasn't had that
probably
kind of
probably doesn't
technology.
Have the internet. Probably just got out of the Amazon jungle. Who knows?
Who knows? But man, what great candidates this week. I think those are prime candidates for the simplest minds of the week.
Yeah, RIP her uncle. How did he die, by the way? Was he just like dead? And she's like, oh, yes, let's go get a loan. Like, what happened to the uncle? That's the story here.
When she gets out of jail and we can find an interpreter who knows Portuguese, maybe we can bring her on and ask her these hard-hitting questions.
First thing we'll do is explain to her how we're talking to her while she's in a different country, and explain to her the internet and the way that works. And then maybe we'll get her side of the story. And hopefully her uncle will get a proper burial.
I hope you have like a PowerPoint presentation where you can be like, this is how you do it online. Yeah. First, you start your computer. Secondly, go on to your banking.
You remember the movie Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Of course.
Remember the sign at the end when they go around? There's all the comments online because they just figured out what the internet was.
Yes.
And then they go and read the comment to everybody and when they open the door and punch them in the face.
Yeah.
Did you say Jay and Silent Bob suck so much dick? They're like, yeah.
Boom. Well, Bobby, it's been fun. Again, look at this. Beautiful. 1 hour. That's all it took, baby. We hammered home some Boston sports news, got it done. And I can't finish this show without saying on 420, happy birthday, Richard.
Happy birthday, day, everybody.
Some famous people are born on 420. Richard's one of them. So if you have a chance on Saturday, please send out some birthday loves to Richard. But this has been the Simple Minds Sports Show Friday Rewind, April 19th / live April 18th. Playoff start. It's going to be a fun time to watch. Bobby, this has been
big
fun.
Big week next week. Playoffs and draft.
Playoffs, draft. It's all happening. Boston sports is going to be moving next week. Till next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.